The uniqueness of Lutheranism is that it gets the New Testament doctrine of justification like nobody else.
Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, speaking at the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
It's also taught among us that we cannot obtain forgiveness of sin and righteousness before God by our own merits, works, or satisfactions, but that we receive forgiveness of sin and become righteous before God by grace, for Christ's sake, through faith. Don't lose heart. You're not crazy. You're just an Orthodox Lutheran. Be faithful, be kind, and be Orthodox.
You can listen to President Harrison's presentation and all of the speakers at the Making the Case conference on a new audio DVD. We'll send it to you for a $300 donation to Issues Etc. before Labor Day. For more information, look for the DVD logo at issuesetc.org.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is a body of some 6,200 congregations and 2.3 million members across the U.S. We don't distribute voters' lists. We don't have a Washington office. We are studiously nonpartisan, so much so that we're often criticized for being quietistic. I'd rather not be here, frankly. We fought for a free conscience in this country, and we won't give it up without a fight. To paraphrase Martin Luther, the heart and conscience has room only for God, not for God and the federal government. The bed is too narrow. The blanket is too short. We must obey God rather than men, and we will. Please get the federal government, Mr. Chairman, out of our consciences. Thank you.
That's Dr. Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Almost 2.5 years ago, he was speaking in February 2012 to the House Committee on Oversight and Government Reform about the Health and Human Services contraception mandate. Another shoe has fallen. I'm not sure how many there are going to be falling off of this centipede, but another shoe has fallen with the Supreme Court's quote-unquote Hobby Lobby decision yesterday, and we're going to be talking about it with the aforementioned and aforeheard Matt Harrison in just a moment here. Welcome back to Issues Etc. for this Tuesday. I'm Ken Sherb for Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Right after we get finished talking with Matt Harrison here in a few minutes, we'll have Dr. John Woolrobby to talk with us about Francis Pieper, his life, his accomplishments, his theology. And you're invited to join us for any and all of that. 1-877-623-MY-IE. That's 1-877-623-MY-IE. You can give us an email at talkback@issuesetc.org. talkback@issuesetc.org, or Twitter us at @issuesetc. Pastor Matt Harrison is taking some time out of his vacation to join us here on the phone to talk about this matter on Issues Etc. Welcome back to the presidency, and welcome back to the phone here.
Hi, Ken. Great to talk to you today.
So what's the big headline here as far as you are concerned? What's the big takeaway from this Supreme Court decision of yesterday for Lutherans and others who are concerned about freedom of conscience in America?
An expansive and expanding federal government was put in check, and a complainant, that is the Green family of Hobby Lobby and also Conestoga, stood up and said that the Free Exercise Clause of the First Amendment guarantees that we do not have to act and support things that are completely contradictory to our religious conscience. And amazingly, five justices saw fit to rule that they were right. That is huge.
Now, you say amazingly. When you were there 2.5 years ago almost testifying before that congressional committee, and we heard a soundbite of it right at the start of the hour, did you have any sense that there even would be a case like this and that the case would be decided as it has been?
Well, I would have thought that the case would have been a religious institution that would come to the Supreme Court first. Instead, we have Hobby Lobby coming with a closely held for-profit, and that is a word everybody has started to look for an understanding for. That is, I understand, a company that is majority shares are held by one or two families. So I would have expected a religious institution, one of the many, I think up to 75 lawsuits filed by Catholic institutions, to have come and be decided first. So pretty amazing that the case involved a public company, not a nonprofit.
Just for those of us who may not have been following all the headlines on this as consistently as you have, the basic problem here was what?
Well, the Obamacare, or the Affordable Care Act, mandated that employers have to provide so-called contraceptives. There are about 20 medications recognized by the FDA, four of which are abortifacients or cause life in the womb to die. And so what the Hobby Lobby folks, who are evangelical Christians, the Green family, and God bless them, they said, according to our religious convictions, we cannot be part of funding our employees acquiring medications that kill life in the womb. So on the Affordable Care Act, with the nonprofit realm, certain grandfather clauses were put into play. And this is, as I testified 2.5 years ago already, I found it quite ironic. You can't grandfather the First Amendment. We have the right to free exercise, and the federal government is not going to tell us what offends our religious consciences. So, for instance, the Concordia Health Plans continues to be able to operate narrowly under the confines of the Affordable Care Act's grandfathering clause, which in essence means that on this point, a bureaucrat in D.C. could scribble a few notes and change a policy, and a plan that ensures 50,000 people would cease to be able to operate.
So you've got the grandfathered religious agencies, you've got the non-grandfathered religious agencies, and then you've got just secular companies like Hobby Lobby. And I think
right.
You were telling me a moment ago that you thought that if there was going to be a case, the first one that would come from that second category, the non-grandfathered religious entities?
Yes, I thought that something would come up from one of the religious entities. I think, and I am no constitutional law expert, but I would think that this case will perhaps render those other cases moot. So this is a very good development.
Apart from the obvious interest, because, as you said, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod does operate a benefits program, provides health insurance for lots of people, apart from that, why does a church body care about this? Why did you, as the president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, go and talk to a congressional committee?
Well, it was important for us to be able to bear witness to things we knew about, and that is, we knew about a religious conscience that was pro-life and is pro-life. And we are not alone, and it was important for us to gather and for me to testify next to Bishop Laurie of the Roman Catholic Church and also a couple of Baptists, and there were a number of others, a Jewish man who testified, a rabbi. It was important for us to let Congress know that the Affordable Care Act had, and this on this point, a serious problem that was detrimental to individuals, certain religious individuals who believe in believe that life in the womb starts with conception.
Obviously, individuals are kind of where God's two hands, as it were, of governance, the right and the left, meet, because as individuals, we dwell in both realms. What does the church need to be doing today, the day after the Hobby Lobby decision?
Well, I think it behooves us as the church to be vigilant. Obviously, we don't step into the public realm very often. We should speak only when we have to speak. The Missouri Synod has a longstanding public stance on the sacredness of life in the womb. So it was quite appropriate for us as a corporate citizen to say something to government. The Missouri Synod is a corporation. It too is incorporated, and it has views, religious views, on the sacredness of life. It's also important for us to celebrate with our business owners, and we knew several Missouri Synod business owners who were affected by this legislation and whose consciences were torn by it. So it's a good day. I think especially for us, what it portends for the religious side is what we can rejoice about. And we'll continue in this very difficult world to pray. You know, Paul gave the injunction in the book of Romans that we are to pray for our rulers. And ironically, he probably gave that injunction during the time of the horrid Emperor Nero. But we pray every Sunday for the president and the administration and all those in the courts and Congress. And we're going to continue to confess, come hell or high water, literally, we are going to confess the truth that we believe. Unlike the Obama administration, which has sought to push and confine religious freedom to the right to assemble, which raised my ire while reading the first regulations already 2.5 years ago. Unlike the Obama administration, the U.S. Constitution and the Supreme Court supporting it gives expansive rights to the free exercise of religion. We can and are religious people when we carry out our lives and in the public square. And whether the Supreme Court acknowledges or not, in this case, it acknowledged it. Thank God we are going to continue to confess, and we're going to live our lives as Christians. Every day, day in and day out, we're sinners, we fail, but we're going to live as Christians, we're going to love all people, we're going to act as good citizens, we're going to care for people no matter who they are, no matter what sins they may have. We are sinners, we welcome sinners. That's what we're going to do, confess Christ and live.
One last thing, Matt, with about a minute here. What can you tell us about an education and awareness campaign launched by the Synod called Religious Liberty, Free to Be Faithful?
Yes. In the wake of the testimony 2.5 years ago, we began the Free to Be Faithful campaign, explaining to Missouri Synod people the interplay and relationship between the kingdom of the left and the kingdom of the right, that is, government, et cetera, and church. And we have something very unique to offer, Free to Be Faithful. Materials are found at the LCMS website. The Missouri Synod does not seek to make the state Christian. We aren't trying to make the Bible the rule book for the state. We believe when Christians operate and in the realm of the state, they do so as enlightened citizens following solid reason. And so we, unlike many Protestants, have this two kingdoms doctrine where we don't mix them up, and we have a wonderful gift to give the state, and we can join together in our neighborhood associations, our communities, in our state and local governments, in our national government, with other citizens who may have completely different convictions on religion and other matters. We are able to join together for good, for the temporal realm, for people. And so the Free to Be Faithful campaign explains this wonderful doctrine of the two kingdoms of Lutheranism and also gives some ideas about getting involved and being active in both kingdoms.
Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, thanks for taking time to be with us today.
Hey, Ken, you're a great host. I think you're even better than Todd, but I won't tell anybody.
Well, yeah, let's keep that our secret, okay? You can find more about the Free to Be Faithful campaign at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. By the way, Thursday, that inferior host, Todd, he'll have a legal perspective on the Supreme Court ruling from attorney Tad Armstrong. We're going to be back on the other side of this break to talk about something completely different and talk about Francis Pieper. We'll be right back.
The church's music from the second century. the 6th century. The 12th century. The 16th century. The 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Your lifeline to the Lutheran worldview. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Do you wish your Lutheran school offered Latin, Greek, or logic? What about German or calculus? Right now, local Lutheran schools in two different states are utilizing Wittenberg Academy to expand their course offerings. Whether it's Latin for third graders or logic for seniors in high school, Wittenberg Academy can help. For your homeschooler or for your brick-and-mortar Lutheran school, we have solutions. To find out more, visit wittenbergacademy.org.
There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/lcmsu.